The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's 12 noon Central Time where we are, 1 o'clock on the East Coast, where attorney John Whitehead is. He's the author of multiple books, and he also heads up the Rutherford Institute. It's Rutherford.org. I think you can remember that. Rutherford.org. Get there and donate. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organizations. These are deductible as charitable contributions on federal income taxes. All right. That's what they're for. And John, of course, I donate. You should too. Why is that? Because John defends rights of the people. And we got to keep these court systems honest, and I wonder about them sometimes, especially with what's going on in New York. John Whitehead, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, thank you.
I know this is it's timely, and I mean, everybody, Jonathan Turley from George Washington University and all these critics, and I mean, they're looking at this thing, calling it a kangaroo court. What's going on up there with the Trump trial? Jury is in day number two. They had to ask for jury instructions twice. This is really a kangaroo court, isn't it? It is politically motivated. Is that your take?
Oh, I think that most of these things in and out of this area, again, I keep informing people that who really runs things is the so-called deep state. And when you see the puppet show going on a lot of times, I tell people someone is directing the puppets. So you have to be careful. And again, there was a really intense study out of Princeton University where money congregated in the United States, and it was Washington, D.C., basically what they call the deep state. And it's all run by money and people who want to make sure they're choosing who's going to be the president or whatever they're going to be, who's going to be the next Supreme Court judge and down the line. So I keep telling people that we're run by money, 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 money. Money is, I've sued in and out of Washington, D.C. for 40 years. I've had I had one senator, I was walking down the street with him one day, asked him if he'd been to a meeting, and he looked at me and he said, John, if someone in Washington, D.C. says good morning to you, it's for money. And I went, okay. And he was right. He took me to a meeting, I sat in the meeting, and I walked out shocked at how silly the people were, too. And people are fooled into believing that we have this so-called representative government. And again, like I've sued in and out of Washington, D.C. for 40 years. We really don't have that unless we, the people, start representing each other. And that's the key in this country, is the American people are going to have to start standing up from all the things we're seeing across the country that we fight in the courts. And again, don't believe what you see on the news media all the time either. There's been reports that a number of journalists have left the big TV stations, the big newspapers, and said, hey, this is Carl Bernstein being one of Bernstein and Woodward, saying you can't really trust the media because it's directed by the NSA and CIA and people like that. So we can become kind of stupid puppets ourselves. But I'm telling people that if you read the Constitution, which is not taught in the schools anymore, very, very well at all, let me tell you. I talked to lawyers today, and I'll say, what are the five freedoms in the First Amendment? They look at me like, well, they start mumbling. They don't even know it. That's not taught in some law schools, by the way. Why don't they want you to know what's in the First Amendment? First Amendment says you can tell the government to get out. You can go protest. You have a right to free speech and all these things. But they don't want you to know that. And again, the Fourth Amendment's really key with the things we're seeing with veterans today, the SWAT team raids and stuff, people getting shot. They're shooting up to 500 dogs a day on an average, the police and the FBI. The FBI is doing these SWAT team raids now.
That's scary, John.
Scary. Yeah, and up to 80, it was about 3,000 a year in the 1980s. Now it's up to 80,000 SWAT team raids annually in America. And in some of the cases, if we can get to them in this discussion, they're just for minor things. I mean, they make no sense, except that they're exercising the power. They want to freak people out. They want to make people stay under control. And that's the key. Some people say, hey, what can we do to stand up against it? Well, read the Constitution. It starts with we the people. We are the Constitution, folks. We are the representatives. We are the people. And we are the ones that could run things. But if we're going to sit back and just not do anything, watch TV and believe everything and blah, 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 and waste our lives. Listen, we're moving into a much like what I've seen. And again, in my book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People, I go into it. Looking at former regimes from the Nazis up to the Soviet Union, we're moving in that direction, folks, with all the surveillance now. I mean, the government's watching everything we're doing. When the FBI is showing up at people's doors now, by the way, because of posts they're making on Google or Facebook or wherever they may be doing their posts. And talking to them, that's intimidation, by the way. The government, you have a right to free speech. They want to walk in. They want you to shut your mouth, not do anything. And the people who in 1776 started this country would say, you know something, Americans? You're crazy. This is what we fought. We fought to give you freedom, and now you're giving it over to a bunch of bureaucrats who just want to make money from you.
John, I got to ask you a direct, flat-out question. See, because every time that the phone rings or there's a knock at the door, why is it that we the people feel the obligation to answer it? There is no law that says if somebody knocks on your front door, you're required to even open it and acknowledge the presence of anyone unless they announce themselves and declare that they have a warrant.
Exactly. And most of the time, well, these police now, they don't have warrants most of the time, though. They're just going in and banging through people's doors. And this recent veteran, Ted Destler, out of Tennessee about 8 months ago, it was shocking. The FBI rushed toward his home pre-dawn, by the way. It was still dark. Up on the lawn where his mom lived with him because he was a disabled veteran. And she came to the door and said, what's up? And they jerked her out, threw her in the back of one of the big MRAPs they use. And she said, what's going on here? And they told her to shut up. It was none of her business. And then the police lined up with the FBI and started shooting into the home. They threw flashbang grenades, tear gas. He finally stumbled to the door in less than 15 minutes, and they shot him dead. And you know what they said? This is under investigation, the FBI said. Under investigation. You know, I'm going, under investigation. People should be so outraged, they should be marching in their city saying, get out of here. What are you doing this stuff for? Or some of the other cases that we've defended with veterans where a veteran posts stuff that he thought the president of the United States should be locked up because he was crazy or whatever. He was posting, so a former decorated veteran. The police and the SWAT team raids arrived at his home, arrested him, put him in a psych ward. His mother called me weeping because no organization would defend him. And I looked at the facts. I said, what? Because he spoke out on the internet? It's called civil commitments. And I was shocked when I found out that 1.6 million Americans annually disappear into psych wards now on civil committments. Where they get can't get out because they don't have a lawyer. This guy had us to defend him as lawyers, and we got him out of the psych ward. But the point is that this is happening all over the country. It's so shocking that, and again, it's because America is asleep. Everybody's just kind of snoozing and watching. The average American watches 150 hours of television a month. I'm telling people, hey, turn off the television. Give us one third of those hours. Go down to your local city council and exercise your rights under the 10th Amendment. What's the 10th Amendment say? Local governments can nullify acts of the federal government. In other words, you can say, keep these SWAT team raids out of our area. Do not be bringing these things in here. Make it a law. And you can get, you can really have an impact on the local level. Washington, D.C., I mean, you'd have to have 20,000 people in front of Congress to get them to even listen. And it's gotten to the point, you know, where I've been saying this, we're about maybe less than 10 years away from a total crisis. And the Pentagon, by the way, issued a training video about 4 or 5 years ago called the 2030 video, where they're predicting by 2030 the country's going to break down and they're going to have to implement martial law and run the country. And that's what they're training for now.
Who all is training? Because what about all these Chinese military age men? Are they incorporated into this scheme somehow, John?
I don't know about that. I've seen it. I've not seen any real actual facts, but I've heard it. But I do know the Chinese have some police actually in certain big cities now, supposedly to get people who are escaping from their country, like New York City being one. And that's troublesome because I don't think there should be foreign agents on American soil, especially some place like China, which is a totalitarian regime. And but the thing that we have to be concerned about, and again, it's spreading rapidly, is all this surveillance done on us. I mean, everywhere you go, everything you do now is being tracked. And I've had a few cases where that we defended where people were actually dragged down the line and thrown face down, and the police were in the wrong home. And I had one of the women say, who was involved in a case like that, she said, "What in the world? Why are they so agitated?" And I say, because they have their phone apps now. It's called Shadow Dragon app. It used to take them about 30 days to actually track down, get all the information on you that you were doing. It takes now less than 30 minutes. They can get a complete profile on you. Do you own a weapon? Have you ever, you know, doing this and that? There was a case where a veteran was in his backyard shooting a BB gun, an air rifle, and they did a SWAT team raid on him. It's getting to the point now. And this is the other thing that's scary, is neighbors are reporting to the police someone with these welfare checks they're doing across the country. I don't know if you've heard of those, but increased with if you walk out, if I walk out on my front porch now, and I have an umbrella, and I'm a former veteran, by the way, and I pretend I'm shooting them, and some neighbor says, "Oh, he's a crazy man. He's out there practicing with his gun." I mean, I could have the police arrive within an hour and take me away. And that might be a civil commitment, too. So we're in a country that's kind of transformed and been fooled into believing that we live in this so-called free country. But we're only as free as the government allows us to be.
And if you live in a neighborhood full of veterans, I mean, this is another thing. Most of the people, unless they are so deranged because of the situation that's going on in New York or the situation with COVID, where we've all been basically, a lot of us have been brainwashed to avoid each other and not have social commentary, and you don't know what's going on. I mean, Brian Malinowski in Little Rock, Arkansas, his neighbors, he and his neighbors got along, and they said, "Look, there's nothing wrong with the guy. I've been to his house. He's a great guy. Executive director of Little Rock Airport." And why did they have to smash in his front door at 6 o'clock in the morning, make it look like a home invasion, cover up his Ring camera, and shoot him in the head? You know, it was a search warrant, not an arrest warrant. He thought it was a home invasion. When he reacted, they killed him. It's like he didn't even take anybody with him. I would have said, "Hey, at least, you know, take a half dozen of them with me. I mean, make it worth the while if they're going to kill somebody." But, I mean, this is the thing. The rules of engagement have changed, have they not?
They have. There's the case of Jose Guerrero, which I've written about, in Arizona. The police were doing a sweep of his neighborhood looking for pot in different homes. They were swatting the neighborhood to home. They swatted his home. Flashbang grenade again, tear gas. He's a former veteran, decorated veteran. He grabbed his hunting rifle, the only rifle he had, put his wife and child behind him in the closet. The police saw him standing at the end of this hallway. And here was the key. He thought that it was burglars or whatever, and he was defending his home, which is his right, by the way. It's his property. It's just the Fourth Amendment gives him that right. And he has a right to have a hunting rifle. It was a legal hunting rifle. The police fired over 70 times, killed him. He fell on the floor. His wife came out of the closet screaming, tried to actually help him. They kicked her away. He bled to death on the floor. No marijuana was found in his home. He didn't have marijuana. And I mean, if that's what we've come to for pot now, which is getting legal all around the country, I'm going, why the deaths and the arrests and all this stuff? I actually talked to a police chief. He was doing SWAT teams, and he said, you know, man, I love this marijuana stuff. And I said, why? I said, do you smoke it? He said, no. He says, it's how I fund my SWAT team. And I went, that's why you're into this illegal marijuana so you can fund a SWAT team. And now all these the stuff's becoming legal across the country. And it's just a sad situation to see. But as a people in this country, and I hate to see it, we've stopped thinking about each other as worthy beings, people that need to be protected. As the Declaration of Independence says, we're all created equal. We're created beings. We have all these rights, and we shouldn't be treated like any second we can just be thrown in jail because we make the wrong statement these days, the wrong word. You do the wrong thing on the internet now, the FBI is showing up your door and banging on your door. Now, come on. And you're right. There'd be people, when people banging on your door, ask them if they have a warrant. Ask them who they are and what they want. And, you know, be really careful. I have friends now that put trespassing signs all over their yard so they can alert anybody coming on their property. If you haven't been invited, you shouldn't be here. But, and again, another thing that's really bothering me is the judges give qualified immunity to a lot of these people that, well, the FBI, the local police kill somebody, the police and the FBI get qualified immunity. In other words, the judges say they're doing their job. They were just doing their job. Well, come on. No, they weren't doing their job when they do that.
Phil in Florida, you're on the phone with John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dave. Hello, John. I'm so glad you're on air today. Always glad whenever you're on air. But I had a question, and this is a real situation we've had for years. Police departments all over the country, the United States, have had an arrangement with Israel, you know, and the IDF to get training. We have this foreign country that, you know, has a way of policing, and they're the ones that are training our police. And you talk about, you know, these incidents where the cops go way beyond what's necessary and actually killing people. Wondering what you know about this phenomenon, how widespread is it, is there anything that we as American citizens can do about it as far as bringing it to each other's attention and questioning it?
I'll listen
to your answer.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate your call. You bet.
Thank
John,
you.
That's a multifaceted question there.
Yeah. The training by the police, I've heard about the so-called Israel training that some of it's been done there by some police chiefs. But most of your police chiefs, as I understand, are trained by the FBI now. They go to NASA, go to different Marine bases, and they're being trained there. And they're trained militarily. By the way, I've talked to a few police chiefs who have actually quit, and one of them came to see me and he said, John, I quit because of the military training now. They're training us as the military. And by the way, this is a scary thing. SWAT teams now that the FBI is doing, some of them, they're specially trained SWAT team raids just for veterans because they're afraid of veterans and their training. And that's why you'll see some of these veterans just getting blown away because these guys are trained to go in, and this is the enemy now. And this is America's badge of shame, by the way. Again, I'll say it this way. After people hearing this program today, they should get up off their butts, get down to the office of the counseling, and get this stuff stopped. Because you have people going overseas, fighting, coming back. And again, the shocking thing is a lot of veterans come, they can't get help with the Veterans Administration and stuff like that. And the way they're treated, and the 6,000 veterans a year annually are killing themselves now. They're not treated fairly. They're not treated right at the Veterans Administration. And now a recent report by the Pentagon shows that active military personnel are starting to commit suicide. And I've had them come to me, by the way. I had a former decorated Air Force pilot come to meet with me. I mean, this guy was a zoomer, a bomber. And he said, I had to leave the military. I couldn't take it anymore. I said, why? He said, in Afghanistan, my driver, you know, he was a major. My driver was driving by these fields, and they were all surrounded by American troops. And I said, what in the world are those troops guarding? And they were plants. He said, opium. He said, we in America are guarding opium fields in Afghanistan? And he said, yes. Now, whether this is true or not, I believe him because he quit. And he was, you know, given PTSD, obviously, because they said he had stress and all this stuff. But that wasn't it. He just said, I became disillusioned. And I talked to more military personnel who come back. They're disillusioned by some of the things they're seeing overseas and what we're doing. And as we spread out all over the globe, like the Roman Empire, by the way. And I have people, historians, saying, John, we're repeating Rome again. We're going to collapse. And if you look at the economy in this country right now with all the inflation and all the crazy stuff we're seeing, we're in a mess. And that 2030 video by the again, it's on our website, and we've written about the 2030 video. It's scary because they're training now our military for a collapse of this country. And again, once they become military trained, folks, when they look at you, you may be an American citizen. You are the enemy. And if you make the wrong move, you can get blasted away. And that, to me, looks like the future and where we're headed.
It's hard to fathom, but it makes people, if you're not proactive, this is what John's talking about, getting up off your duff. That's the term my dad used to use politely, but you get off your duff. And my dad served during World War II in England.
My dad dad did too.
So the thing is that if you don't get off your duff and you don't go and connect with these people to let them know who you are and that you are an upstanding, law-abiding, even if you're gun-toting, whatever the case may be, you're a nice guy, you're polite, you let them get to know you. This is one of the reasons, you know, even when I was down in Florida, I knew a lot of the police chiefs and captains and people in my community. So if ever there was a situation where the feds were to come in and say, okay, we're going to go SWAT this guy, they would say, we know this guy. There's nothing wrong with him. You just leave. Get out of here. See, if you don't connect with local law enforcement and carry on a dialogue. I mean, I thought that police departments a long time ago were moving into the neighborhoods, into these outreach programs, and trying to make their community understand, hey, look, we want to help you guys. But like the sheriffs, like Grady Judd and people like that, they're saying, look, we can't be in 50 places at once. If all hell breaks loose, what are we supposed to do? I've been trying to get people to tell me, okay, you know, some of our guests, John, what our rights are when these people come to the door, and see if they're just coming to the door to SWAT us. It's like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She could have been shot to death if had she not put the gun down and answered the door. But the problem is, there is no legal requirement unless somebody announces who they are and why they're there that we have a right or an absolute reason why not to open that door, not even to answer it. Like the phone, if you see a spam call, nobody's, well, I paid for this phone every month. I have a right. I should be able to answer that phone. But you don't know who's on the other end of that line. You don't know who's actually wiretapping or listening to your phones. I mean, this is surveillance state at its finest, and this is one of the things you wrote about on the War on the American People in Battlefield America.
Yeah, and the point is, with all this surveillance, most people don't realize this, Department of Homeland Security has their program Operation Vigilant Eagle. They watch every returning veteran now, where they go, what they do, what they say, and they're all basically labeled extremists, and they're ready to shoot them down in 2 seconds. That's why they do these pre-dawn raids, like on this Ted Dessler or Jose Guerrero or these other people that we've defended. They do it in the morning early, but when you're in bed, and all of a sudden you hear bombs going off in your home, you wake up freaked. The door's already gone down. They're in. And you become Jose Guerrero and you hold your gun. And people say, what should I do when you hear a bat and you see it's the police? I say, folks, drop and put your hands up because you're going to get blown away. And they'll get away with it. They do. And the Department of Homeland Security also issued two memos called right-wing extremism and left-wing extremism. People to be watched. Left-wing extremists were people like animal activists, which is kind of crazy too. But on the right-wing extremists were veterans that they're watching too. So, again, I'm a former veteran. I think it stinks that because I know I'm watched. I've had an FBI agent came to me once. He met with me for a while, former FBI. When he walked out, he pointed his finger at me and says, John, I'm surprised you're still alive. And I went, I looked at him and I said, thanks for the warning. He said, You're okay, man. And he walked out. And I said, see, so they're watching everything you're doing. And they're is that the way? Listen, folks, we have a thing called the Bill of Rights pamphlet that we publish for people to read to their children and to them. Learn your Bill of Rights. Yeah, you're right. They're banging on that door and say, who in the hell are you? Let me ask you that real quick, man. What do you want? Do we have a warrant? I wouldn't let them step into your house unless they have a warrant. You have to be careful. That's the Fourth Amendment, folks. And again, we don't know the Bill of Rights. I mean, like I say, the schools are not teaching it. Kids don't know it anymore. You can teach your kids at home, by the way, through our pamphlet and get educated. As I tell people, education precedes action. And with all that we're seeing across this country, the craziness, the insanity, the drama now with the Trump stuff and all that, if that doesn't teach you a lesson, what our government's really about, you can't learn. And so, again, if you're anti-government today, that means that you exercise your rights under the First Amendment to speak free speech. And bingo, they're there. And here's the thing that's really I've seen since I've been developing and seeing this stuff over the years. The police now are like the army. And what did George Washington warn us? He said, do not have a standing army on American soil. They saw it with the British, who invaded their home, shot them in the streets, SWAT team raids, all that stuff. Now we've gone to sleep on our rights, and they're implementing it again. And we're there, folks. This is the new revolution. And I tell people, we need a second American Revolution. I even wrote a book called that once. And we need rebels. We need rebels. And people say, well, what's a rebel? A rebel is someone who cares about his fellow citizens and their rights. And that rebel will get out there and speak truth to power. And that's what we need today. More people will go down to their local city council meetings, get together in groups, and run for office, by the way. If your mayor is just sitting on his hind end, his duff, as you say, and not doing anything, you run for mayor. Get some good mayors in here and local, and support your local sheriffs, by the way, many of them who want to fight back, too.
Yeah, sure. That's a good thing. That's why I'm a member of several sheriff's organizations. John Whitehead, I appreciate you staying with us into this next half hour so we can continue this conversation because there's a lot more ground to cover. And by the way, donate, Rutherford.org. We need your donations because that's what helps us keep up the fight. We'll be back with more with John Whitehead after these important messages. Stay with us.
For the past 20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-8255. 9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
And it's 33 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time where we are, and we have John Whitehead with us. He is an attorney and the director of the Rutherford Institute. It's rutherford.org. This is one organization, folks, if you can spare it, you need to go online and donate to the cause because, I mean, literally, he is defending people. I mean, you need to buy the book if you want to read what's going on. It's called Battlefield America, The War on the American People. And I am surprised, John, and I appreciate you joining us for this segment, that he had a visit from the FBI and they said, you're lucky to be alive. I think that would have freaked me out. But the thing is that you have made yourself and put yourself in a position running a 501c3 where you file amicus briefs and various other things and, you know, help defend these people that are victims. Yet it seems like this is just an uphill battle.
Oh, it's definitely an uphill battle because I have a good friend who's a lawyer and a good lawyer. And he said, John, you're the guy standing on the cliff and looking over and going, hey, wake up. I went, well, yeah, but that's my job. to do that. And that's our job to do that. And we need to be out there. Like I said, we need more rebels, people who are really concerned about their rights and want to make sure they don't disappear for their children and their grandchildren. If you're concerned by that, again, you can do it. The schools are not teaching the Bill of Rights anymore, hardly at all. Mm. And like I say, they don't teach the Declaration of Independence. And someone said, why wouldn't they do that? Well, you read that preamble written by Thomas Jefferson. It says if the government stinks, you can throw it out. They do not want you thinking like that. They want you saluting the government, not God or whatever. It's in government we trust, not in God we trust.
Yeah, well, it's going to be like this want. Pretty soon, you know.
Exactly. And when I studied the history of the CIA and stuff like that, a guy named Reinhard Gehlen, who actually worked in Nazi Germany, was brought over after World War II, helped set up the CIA. And I detail a lot of this in my books and stuff. But it's scary, the history that we've allowed to happen, because we're all asleep and we don't awake. It's like that movie by John Carpenter, if you've never seen it, They Live, We Sleep. And there's something always going on underneath. There was a detailed study, by the way, that came out of SMU about a professor named Ryan Murphy. He tried to study where psychopaths congregated in America. The conclusion was, after a detailed study, it's a really good study, it was Washington, D.C. Psychopaths are people who can be glamorous, they can be cool, they can do this, but inside where they're by themselves and where they're buddies, they care about one thing, themselves, money, and power. And that's what we have in Washington, D.C. You don't have people who are going, how am I going to help America get better? How am I going to help America's income problems? American restaurants shutting down now. All the things we're seeing happening across the country. But here's another thing that's really scary, and I'm seeing it develop, and you better watch out and be careful, folks. We're moving toward a global state now. That's what they really wanted all along, especially after World War II and NATO and groups like that. They're moving toward a global state. And what that means is America's no longer like the primary. There's going to be just one cog in all the other thing. Edward Snowden, about a year ago, I think it was in an interview, said he was shocked at how much influence China was having in America and around the world and over the internet. And that was the whistleblower that had to escape to get away with, or right. he might have been killed. So the thing is that as we move into this kind of global environment, they don't want you thinking America's particular. They don't want you to know your rights. They don't want you to know any of this stuff. And that, in configuration with artificial intelligence, now basically taking over everything. I mean, writing articles. I mean, in China, by the way, I watched a few of their videos where they have these synthetic beings now that look like people. You can't tell the difference. They're doing the news, but they're robots. Elon Musk warned us a couple years ago when he said, I've been trying to warn people. They don't get it until that robot's coming at them down the street. Then he went on to say, by the way, he says, if you have a real human dictator, that dictator will die eventually, and you can have freedom. If you have an artificial intelligence dictator, you'll have a dictator forever, and it'll be evil. That's where we're headed. When you had this recently, about a year ago, this Google executive, I think it was Mo Gowat was his name, he quit and said, we created God at Google with artificial intelligence. So watch out. People, I'm seeing more and more people, even law firms now, saying, let's just move toward artificial intelligence. And they're doing the briefs and stuff like that.
No.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
There's some churches have been done by artificial intelligence. The question that's raised by all that, and there have been a number of movies and books trying to raise it over the years, is what happens to people. In fact, I've written a book called The Eric Blair Diaries, where it's a novel about what happens in the future if machines take over. Well, everything goes away, people, whatever, and the machines run everything. We just become sort of meat in a machine. And that's where we're headed. And I'm trying to wake America up and people up to start pushing back against some of this stuff. But listen, kids are being indoctrinated into that today. When I go into restaurants and I see families, three kids and two parents, and they're all looking at their cell phones. And I go, whatever happened to human communication? They're all kids walking across the street now, adults, cars coming, and they're looking at their phone like whatever. They're bumping into you going, oh, excuse me, and they keep reading. It's an addiction. It's what a great writer in the past named Marshall McLuhan called narcissism, American narcissism. We get into these cell phones and we think this thing is our buddy. It's going to help us and all this and that. To a certain degree, yeah, they're very useful. However, they're not something that you consume all the time because it's a machine. It's not something that's there for you. It's there for it and the big corporations and the psychopaths that run Washington, D.C.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, they're using this for surveillance state at its finest. Oh, I mean, when all this stuff came out during COVID that they were using this for contact tracing, I mean, I think a bunch of people freaked out. And a lot of them just said, you know what? I'm getting rid of the cell phone. I'm going to have a landline. If people want to get a hold of me, the thing is they're monitoring those. They monitor besides the landline. I mean, that's easy for them to tap into.
They're doing geofencing. We help the church. We help the They were watching people come out, and they wherever you go, whoever walked by, everybody's being surveyed. That happened in the January 6th stuff. Wherever people just walked by the way. They didn't have anything to do with it. FBI was showing up at their door. Listen, that's like Nazi Germany, by the way.
Yeah.
I've read about Nazi Germany where all of a sudden, bang, 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 knock on the door and say, police, you have to come down and meet at the police station with us. And away they went, folks. We're moving in that direction. In fact, you know, again, the people don't realize this. America has one of the biggest prison population in the world, by the way, percentage wise, with private prisons now run by corporate organizations that make money. People are making Microsoft materials, doing all stuff for all the big chain stores, and they're in prison and they can't get out. Women picking fruit for big markets and all that stuff and fields, but they can't get out. They're there forever, basically, to work for the corporations. That's the state of America. Now, why don't you know that? Because you're not paying attention. You're not getting educated. And like I say, education precedes action.
Well, and they're censoring a lot of this stuff, too, which, you know, you see that as part of the algorithms and stuff, which we just talked about. Google's algorithm just became exposed as of today in the headlines. And, you know, here's the thing. They've got drone surveillance now that you've written an article about, monitoring excess junk cars on a couple secluded property in Michigan. And the Supreme Court allowed the government to do warrantless drone surveillance. I mean, and you try to shoot at one of those things and they come get you.
Oh, yeah. And now they have lasers from 2 miles up, by the way. They can the drones can read your facial characteristics and determine who you are. And now they have some of their smallest insects, by the way, that are flying around. And I'm telling people, you may be in your front yard and think that's a bee going by, but it may not be a bee. That's where we're at. It's moved quickly. It's really developed. And police in a number of areas, by the way, I forget what police station town it was. They just laid off a number of cops. They were replaced by drones. The drones go up to the front door now and hover and boom, 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 and announce themselves. And you're dealing with a machine. Now, wait a second. Do you ask the machine if it has a warrant? I would, but
now they've got robot dogs that are flamethrowers that you could buy. I mean, imagine they throw in a flashbang and next thing you know, they're getting turned into crispy critters trying to go in the front door to take you out because you've got one of those fire breathing dogs that you bought I mean, there is no safety. I bet people during our little break here in this segment, they're calling me, telling me I'm incensed that we have to just kowtow and lay down and put our hands up when they come busting through the door. And it's like, you know, what's life worth living if they're going to be allowed to do this?
Yeah, well, I would say get up off the floor after they leave, get a good lawyer, start filing lawsuits, get down to your city council. I mean, you're being dead is not going to help you.
Well, I understand that.
A rebel can do it. I mean, I'd rather go down as a rebel and get up and fight the battle and say, I'm coming after you after this. This is terrible. And get some neighbors together and start doing things. But here's the thing. We can do some pre-things now, that things before. Again, that we have a little window, I'd say less than 10 years, I've said it and I believe it, where we might be able to make some big changes. And that's now. You don't have much after 10 years, in my opinion. I mean, when the government is training for the breakdown of America in 2030, watch out. Because they work with a lot of the local police and stuff and militarizing them. They're totally militarized now. And they work with the FBI. And, I mean, it's to the time now where, I mean, if you want to say when you hear the flashbang grenades, grab a gun, whatever, if you see it's the police and you hold that gun, you either drop the gun or get blasted away. Now, if you drop the gun, that gives you another chance to go after them. They'd rather shoot you with a gun than let you get up and go away and fight back. They don't want you fighting back.
Yeah, that's sad, especially if you use the courts. But then again, a lot of people are having a hard time trusting the courts. I mean, foreclosures are on the increase. I mean, this is crazy, John.
Yeah, and it's like I say, the courts generally, like they give them qualified immunity to the police and stuff like that. But the point is that political action is what they don't want. They don't want people getting together in groups. They hate that. And the big people in the past that have threatened to do that have gotten shot, taken away, or whatever. And Martin Luther King being one, I'll bring him up. He wasn't a perfect guy, but he was so darn organized. He was ready to shut Washington, D.C. down. And he had field marshals and all that stuff, and all of a sudden, bang, he's gone. His head flies off. And with a hollow point bullet, by the way. That's another thing that's scary. Maybe I didn't bring this up. But the Department of Homeland Security had an agreement with the ATK Corporation, and they made 1.6 million hollow point bullets for them about 8 or 9 years ago, which they distributed to their agents and to some local police. There's at least 175,000 federal agents running around America with hollow point bullets. Now, I was a second lieutenant in the Army, then a first lieutenant. I taught troops how to shoot and prepared them for Vietnam. I could not use hollow point bullets. And I asked one of my generals, I said, what's wrong with hollow point bullets? He said, they're inhuman. When they hit your skin, they expand and boom, off goes your shoulder. John F. Kennedy's head, when if you look at that video with his brain going out of his head, that was a hollow point bullet, by the way. And he was the guy who said he was going to take the CIA and toss it to the winds. When he said that, I told tell people, that's like saying, hey, go ahead and kill me. All right. You don't, those big agencies, if you have any power at all, and they can get rid of you, they're going to do it. And they've done it in the past over and over. Hollow point bullets shooting American citizens. These are agents. They have them. You're kidding me. Why do they need hollow point bullets?
To make sure you're dead.
Exactly.
Yeah, we know that. Now, where we had a caller leave a message and ask where to locate that Agenda 2030 video.
Go to our website at Rutherford.org, and, you know, it's there. And look at our article that we've written on it, a couple, and it's there. Yeah.
Okay, now how long is the video?
As I remember, it's about 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, well, that's a quick study, folks. And then while you're there, please leave a donation, because that's the only way that John and his organization are going to be able to survive. You know, another thing that is happening right now is this asset forfeiture garbage that's going on. You see a lot of these lawsuits, U.S. versus 7,680,000 and some change versus this. And I mean, most of the time they get to keep it. You can't go anywhere. I mean, I've heard horror stories about a farmer going to an auction. He's got $3,000 in cash on him. He's going to buy a tractor. He needs a tractor because his other one broke down and they're selling one at the estate auction. He gets stopped by a cop. Next thing you know, the cop is like, what are you doing with all that money? It's drug money, and they confiscate it.
Yep, and they actually, the local police split that with the Department of Justice. They make a lot of money. Like, I think it's, what, $20 million a year they make off of asset forfeiture. There was one case that we tried to help on. It was terrible. a lady lived in another state. She sold her home. It was like $240,000. She was trying to buy a new home. Her son was going to take the money to her. The police pulled him over, took the money, accused him of being a drug dealer, and kept the money. They never got it back. They went to court. And again, that's happening across the country. I warn people, listen, do not have a lot of cash in your car. Yeah, they pull you over, they do a search, they'll be looking in your back seat, and they find that money, they're gonna take it. And getting it back is almost impossible. Again, you were talking about the courts. The courts, like I say, are a lot of times lined up with the police. And I've argued cases, by the way, which shocked me when I've told judges, Your Honor, today I had one judge that blew my mind. I said, Your Honor, today I'm gonna emphasize the Constitution. He looked at me and went, like this, Constitution? All right, let me hear about the Constitution. I said, made fun of me. And I went, okay, here's the Constitution. And I argued the case, and I actually won it. It was a homeschooler that had been arrested. But again, it's...
what was he arrested for?
Against,
truancy?
You're up against judges that do not know the Constitution themselves. And here's another thing I'm arguing. Before anybody can take office in the United States, like a House representative or senator, they should have to take a test on the Constitution, and they must pass it before they can take their seat.
Yeah, don't they also have to sign a bunch of forms like oaths of office and stuff? I mean, there's been challenges that most of the White House and the Biden administration has not even signed oaths of office. But there's another thing about a Foreign Agent Registration Act, because of the fact that we are living in an Article I administrative state. And maybe that's one of the reasons why the judge looked funny at you, because he doesn't really think that the Constitution applies under contract law. Because, I mean, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, obligation of the contract shall not be impaired. And when you're looking at stuff like this and you're walking into, like, traffic court, that's an Article 1 administrative court. I've heard of stories about attorneys who have walked into court during arraignment in a criminal trial and said, am I in a corporate court or am I in the constitutional court? And the judge throws the case out and dismisses all the charges because he doesn't want this guy educating the rest of the courtroom. Now, yeah. I mean, when you're looking at stuff like this, all of these courts in the United States are incorporated, are they not?
Yeah, it's, again, and they side with the government almost all the time. It's almost impossible. It's like that. That case I said with we helped that Marine who was put into the psych ward. Then we appealed and went into the federal courts, and the federal courts went, police were just doing their job. And I'm going, that's their job, to violate every right under the Constitution, qualified immunity, which is something that should be done away with, by the way. That's another thing that if you get in your local communities, argue against all this stuff. And again, I'd be glad to help anybody who would want to get involved in these things and start moving ahead, because the way the thing is set up now, this is not the kind of system you think it is, no. And again, if they're not teaching the First Amendment really effectively in school or law school, those people that become judges, they're political appointments, folks.
Yeah, they are. That's sad. All right. So now, see, there's a solution for you, folks, because we're all about solutions here at the Power Hours. You can get directly in touch with John Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute by going to rutherford.org. You can watch the video. Agenda 2030 video. It's there. You can buy a copy of his book. You got several of them out, but Battlefield America, The War on the American People is the big one. And basically, you just have to possess something the government wants, which is basically your understanding of the Constitution. And we have copies of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and everything at the Power Mall. For those of you who want to buy them, you can buy them in bulk. I think we saw them by the 10-pack, as a matter of fact. But the thing is, you know, we're talking about jury nullification. And given the fact that we started out talking about the Trump trial, and because of the fact that this judge has virtually gone out and confused this jury. This jury doesn't know which way is up, and he's telling people that you literally can convict this guy without actually looking at whether a crime was committed. I'm like, wait a minute. Something really weird is going on here with our judicial system, and I mean, it is being used politically by the fact that these judges and these prosecutors and people like this law enforcement. This is one of these peace officers I knew in Texas said the thing that scares me more than a law-abiding citizen is a cop out there with a gun and a badge that acts like Eugene Tackleberry on Police Academy and literally will just rather just shoot you than look at you and forget about your rights. They don't matter. And I think we've always said, as one of my mantras, if you don't know your rights, you don't have any. And you just wrote an article about that, as a matter of fact.
Yep. And that's the key, knowing your rights. And we also have a billfold, a little full thing, the Bill of Rights. A fellow called me. He was picketing on the street corner, which he had a right to do. He wasn't blocking people walking by or anything. Two police called up and told him he needed to get off the street. He said, "But I have rights." They said, "What right?" He pulled out the little pocket Bill of Rights. He read them the First Amendment, and the cop leader says, "Oh, I get it. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Keep it up. Be peaceful." And drove off. And I said, "You got to be kidding me." But that's the way it works. Again, knowing your rights and exercising them, and you can educate other people. You need to educate your city councils and all that stuff. Again, if you've got good pamphlets, hand them out, folks, through Power Hour here, and get people to start reading them. And again, I know some people now have gone to some city council meetings and they just open up the Bill of Rights and read it to the city council. There are certain things you can do. Now, you might be an irritating person. Might be irritating, but irritation moves things forward sometimes. Right?
It does. In other words, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. John Whitehead, thank you so much from the Rutherford Institute. The website again, rutherford.org. Get there, check out the video, Agenda 2030 video, and support the Rutherford Institute. They're doing their best to try to help people maintain their peace, their freedom, their sanity, and, of course, their rights. John, thank you so much. God bless you for the work you're doing. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time for today. We will be back for their Friday edition here on the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.